01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic crash out of Europe after losing at home to Copenhagen. Rangers will face German side Bayer Leverkusen in the next round of the Europa League. And it's Scottish Cup quarter-final weekend with Hibs and Inverness kicking things off tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me this evening is Fraser Wishart and Hugh Keevans.
You can sum up the week in verse. Rangers held their nerve. Celtic lost the plot. That's why one team's still in Europe and the other one is not. Now, what a weekend did the pair of them have at home. Rangers were panicked in Perth last weekend. Celtic will now need to defend better to keep alive the dream of the quadruple treble when they go there on Sunday. And Rangers will need to put Bayer Leverkusen onto the back burner for now, because there's only one German dimension they have to focus on this weekend, and that's stopping Daniel Stendel doing the League and Cup double over them at Tynecastle tomorrow.
When you're looking at it though, Celtic, I think the supporters and the players and the management, in the cold light of day, they'll be looking at it and think that's an opportunity missed, because over the two games they had the chances to win the game. I know they'll be focusing on the defence and the mistakes at the back, but they had the chances at the other end, especially in the first half of both games. And it's a game against a team, for all Copenhagen chased and harried and really made it difficult for Celtic, they should have won that game. And I think they'll be really disappointed by the way it's all turned out. Disappointing for Scottish football as well. It'd be great to have two teams in the last 16, but as Hugh says, it's just Rangers who pulled out a fantastic performance and result in Braga.
And it's easy for Hugh to say, for the Rangers players to put Bayer Leverkusen on the back burner, but we don't have to, and the Rangers fans don't have to, because they're already booking the flights, looking at the accommodation, and wondering what lies in wait. Certainly a difficult tie, I think, Fraser, is most people's opinion.
Yeah, but I think everybody was on the internet this afternoon, myself included, looking at the stats and where they were, you know. And Champions League they played this year, you know, it's easy to forget, and they beat Atletico Madrid at home, fourth in the Bundesliga last year, fifth at the moment, only 6 points behind Bayern Munich. So this will be a tough game for Rangers, but they've beaten Porto, they've beaten Braga, they've beaten other teams as well. So yeah, they've got to go and give it their best shot, but it's a tough draw. There were easier games out there for Rangers to progress, but the fans will love it. The fans will enjoy the games, and they'll enjoy seeing the glamour of a Bundesliga club coming to Ibrox.
Yeah, I mean the record speaks for itself, but so does Steven Gerrard's record. Since becoming Rangers manager, he has characterised his time in charge by doing very well in Europe. When I looked at the Braga performance overall, Rangers have gone from dead and buried to home and hosed, because they were apparently dead and buried after an hour at Ibrox, and an hour and a half later, in the tie overall, they are through to the last 16. So for Steven Gerrard, he will know in his deepest subconscious that Bayern Leverkusen present a tremendous challenge, but he can at least approach it knowing that his team excel in Europe.
Rangers fans, what do you make of that draw? Is it doable? Would you have hoped for an easier draw? Were you hoping for a more glamorous draw? Give us all your reactions to that on the phones, 01419511025. Let's start with the action at Celtic Park last night, though. Celtic boss Neil Lennon says they only have themselves to blame. It was 3-1 on the night, 4-2 in aggregate, and Lennon says they should have had the tie out of reach.
We basically shot ourselves in the foot. We were in control of the game. First half we had total control, you know. I don't remember Fraser having to do anything of note. They had a couple of corners, but we had all the flow. We hit the post, crosses going across the goal. So at half time we were pretty pleased with the way the game had gone, and then we made a mistake, give them oxygen and encouragement. And then we had to change the shape, you know, to try and get back into the game. We get back into the game, quite deservedly so, you know. For all our good players, we deserve to get back into the game. And then you just send to manage the game, you know, and we didn't manage the game. We shot ourselves in the foot for the second goal, and that was the big moment of the tie, if you want to call it that. Bitterly disappointing to have lost, and just in the manner in which we lost, because we were the better team for huge parts of the game.
Peter is in Paisley kicking things off tonight. Where did it go wrong last night, Peter?
Hello, pal. Thanks for taking my call. I'm absolutely blood coming from my ears. I've just listened to Neil Lennon, him there saying that we shot ourselves in the foot. He shot himself in the foot. He played the wrong formation. I don't understand why he played the one up front when we played two up front for the last 10 games for the winter break, and it's been working brilliantly. I don't understand it altogether. This is the type of games he does. He's done it against Rangers twice. We're lucky to win the League Cup final. And then the game at Parkhead, they totally destroyed us because, yet again, these stupid, crazy formations. My question is, why did he not play with two up front? Our formation last night stood at Copenhagen, T.A.T. T.A.T.
Well, here comes the Neil Lennon backlash, it would appear. I think he was, at points in the game, unlucky. Callum McGregor has had a goal wrongly disallowed, in my opinion. Mohamed El Yunusi has missed an absolute sitter. The goalkeeper has made an incredible reflex save from Lee Griffiths. So Celtic have had their moments of bad luck. Had those goals gone in, Peter, you wouldn't have been on making this call. He tried something different, and it...
I get that.
I'm sorry?
The thing is, I get your point there, but what infuriates me, why change the formation? Why no play with the two up front? Since Lee Griffiths has come back to full fitness, he's a £10 million striker plus when he's fit. He isn't any good on the bench when he's been on the games for the last 10 games and he scored how many games and how many goals? He's won the last 30 minutes and the game is nearly done. Nearly done. Formation, for my eyes, Neil Lennon has got a lot to answer for. He can't blame the players. He's got to blame the formation.
Well, I think you do have to blame the players because they got the get-out-of-jail card. By his own exceptionally high standards, Odson Edouard had a quiet night. But... the get out of jail card was presented to him and he accepted it on Celtic's behalf. Now, there were only minutes to go in the game and it should have been an onslaught by Celtic, and yet within seconds they find themselves 2-1 down on the night. Unforgivable. The defence has to take a lot of the blame for what went on last night. Simonovic simply not good enough to give away the goal that he did. Ayer just looked out of sorts, and that Julian was not commanding for me. So, yeah, Neil Lennon will perhaps one day explain why he decided to change the system, but the team he put out on the park should have been good enough to win that match at Celtic Park.
You can probably separate it into two parts, Fraser. First of all, were you surprised that Neil Lennon didn't go 3-5-2 and play Lee Griffiths up front? But then secondly, is that why they lost the game? Because ultimately, if the answer's not yes to the second one, then does it matter as much?
I think it's no and no. I wasn't surprised that he played that formation. It was the same formation they played over in Copenhagen. They played with four at the back, and that's the formation that he's tended to play in Europe. I think when they're playing the 3-5-2 with like Forrest as a wing back, it's really because he's playing on the front foot all the time, and it's unfair to ask James Forrest to defend as a wing back because he's just not got that inclination. And in a game where I just thought Celtic were a wee bit cautious, and when it's a 1-1 away from home, you've got that away goal, sometimes just subconsciously, and perhaps even the manager's thinking as well, is don't give it away. Ayer was playing it kind of right back, but he didn't charge forward all the time. He wasn't as attacking as some other fullbacks would be. It was almost kind of just keep solid, you know, let's try and get the goal and play Copenhagen out of the game. What I would say is that at 1-0 down, Neil Lennon then did change it. You know, to be fair to him, he changed it, and they get back into the game. They get the goal. Griffiths had that chance that Hugh was talking about. It was a brilliant save by the goalkeeper, and you felt at that point Celtic were just going to steamroll them, and then there's mistakes at the other end. So for me, no, I wasn't surprised, and no, I don't particularly blame the manager. 1-1, just that awkward result. You don't want to play too many players further forward and get in the counter-attack because you're leading at that point. You're actually leading at 1-1.
We have this similar debate all the time, Peter, when Celtic or Rangers lose a high-profile game or drop points. I just wonder if we do focus a wee bit too much sometimes on formations and tactics, does that give players excuses, is what I'm trying to say, because ultimately, if El Yunusi just sticks the ball in the back of the net when it looked easier to do so than to miss, or if Jozo Simunovic just boots the ball into row Z rather than try to play it back to Fraser Forster, you're probably not on here worried about the formation.
No, I'm a wee bit, because Simunovic is sometimes 9 out of 10 a liability. He's had one good season when he took Kenny Miller right up the air.
But that's the whole point, Peter. If you wanted to play three at the back, he definitely would have played again. So I'm not sure how that...
But why not play Frank Paul? He's a more
he's a more dynamic player going forward, plus he defends better.
No, he doesn't. If you go back over the first game in Copenhagen, Jeremy Frimpong is a young man, still a teenager, and his defending qualities were called into question in Denmark. So, and incidentally, does that really summarise a good season? He put Kenny Miller up in the air? I don't think so. The one thing I would say about Celtic, and I've said it before here, so I'm not being smart after the event, Celtic should have bought a central defender in the January window for two reasons. One, there's an obvious need for one. And number two, Ayer, Julian, Simonovic go in unopposed. There's no one to challenge them for their places, and that should have been addressed in January.
Well, it was Jozo Simonovic who made the first mistake, certainly. But Neil Lennon says he won't be hanging any of his players out to dry.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and criticise them for mistakes that they've made tonight. They deserve better tonight, and they didn't get that. Not sometimes that's football. It's cruel sometimes, but when you make individual errors, it gives the opposition a lot of encouragement. It's my job. I have a duty of care to him. You know, he's come back from a long-term injury, and he's been absolutely fantastic. Yes, he made a mistake. Then he recovered, and you know, he didn't make a mistake for the second goal. If I need to pick him up, I will. You know, that's my job. He has been magnificent for me since he's come in the door. He made a mistake. He's held his hands up, and we move on.
Scott and Burmullock, sum up how you were feeling at that full time whistle last night, Scott.
Got it, to be honest. Well, before the ball was kicked, I was really worried about the team, and I'll give you my reasons for it. He started with four players that, in my opinion, were nowhere near fit. Ellen Ushie's been out since the end of November. He's only played a couple of half games. Tom Rodgick, the same, has hardly kicked a ball in the last 3-4 months. James Forrest was a doubt before the game, and so was Scott Brown. So we started the game with four players, potentially they might not last the 90 minutes. That's what we started with. We started with a formation that we've already shoved to the side and said, look, that's maybe no for us now. We need to be a wee bit more dynamic up front. And we were doing really well with the formation. As for people saying we didn't have anybody else to bring in, yes, we did. With a guy called Nir Beaton, who, in my opinion, has been sorely overlooked to play Jozo, who can't play four games together but he goes out injured. So, Neil had plenty of opportunities. He had a full-back on the bench as well. And something I'm going to say, true, I agree with you about Frimpong. I don't always agree with you. But in the first leg over in Copenhagen, he got a chasing. But again, that was a player that was played. When did he play last? He hadn't played a game since he got the bad injury down at Kilmarnock. And yet, all of a sudden, he's back in the team. Neil continues to do this. And it's not a first. He's done it over the years. That's what worries me. He changed the winning formation and we lost the tie. Why?
But listen, players come back after injury. That's what happens. Players are out injured, then they come back.
Tight shoes I'm talking about. See, in Scotland, you get away with it. You could play six or seven players, and the other four don't play particularly well. In Europe, you're playing better teams. You're thinking they're going to be as well.
Do you think, for one moment, that Neil Lennon voluntarily sent out a side that he knew would be lacking the legs to get the job done? Do you think he would put out four players that you mentioned that he thought would have been suspect on the night?
What would you have done instead, Scott? Because if you wanted Nir Beaton to play at the back and Ryan Christie and Olivier and Cham were out, and you've got concerns over Brown and Rogic being played in the first place, who would you have played in midfield then if you wouldn't have played Brown and Rogic and you didn't have Cham or Christie?
Okay, I'll go with what I would have went. Obviously, Foster and goal. I would then have had Beaton, Julian Ayer.
Uh-huh.
As the two holding players, I would have put probably McGregor and Brown and took the chance of Brown, right? I would have went possibly, depending on the level of fitness that James Forrest had, do you go with Frimpong, knowing that you've got Forrest on the bench if you need to change it? You then have your central sort of three players. You can have Tom Rodgick in there. You can also have Elanusi, and you can also have another off of the other players on the bench. Then you've got obviously Edward and Wee Griff up front. He didn't need to start. with Yuzo. He didn't need to start with the other player. I just think, why did he go back to 3-5-2? Why did they not leave it?
Similar theme developing here, Fraser. Again, if a team loses a game, the manager has to take some responsibility. That's been the rule since day dot. Again, though, you dig a bit deeper into the 90 minutes. At half time, I think everyone felt pretty comfortable. Celtic were on the front foot, created a lot of chances. So I think are we in this part of the world, I think we're always quite keen to look for one source of blame rather than willing to take into account that it was probably a few factors. So everyone wants to seem to pin it on the formation and not take anything else into account, which might be the case. But
the formation 3-5-2, 4-2-3-1, as I said before, Ayer tucked in a wee bit, so it almost became a three, especially when Celtic had the ball. Ayer would go forward from time to time. I mean, we're talking about very much margins. I mean, Scott came on there and his first comment was, you know, about Brown, Forrest, Elneny and Rogic and the fitness, and you asked him to name his team, they were all in his team. So, and there are no options. You know, Mikey Johnson's injured, Christie's suspended, and Cham's injured, El Hamed's injured as well. So there's not a lot of options there in terms of replacing those players. And if you get Scott Brown and James Forrest and they're 80 to 90% fit, you take a chance on them. And I did think that Scott Brown's been brilliant recently, but he just looked as if he wasn't quite there. I mean, a wee muscle injury, you tend to just not be quite as mobile. I thought James Forrest looked fine. I thought he looked very sharp, and things didn't come off for him. But you take that chance with your captain, especially when he's been so influential in so many years, but also in recent times. I think since the game at New Year, he's been terrific. So I think we can sometimes just clutch at straws. Celtic should have won that game. They made too many defensive mistakes, and at the other end, they had their chances. Yeah. Don't forget that.
Let's squeeze in Robbie and Falkirk before the travel as well. Have you got a similar gripe, Robbie?
A wee bit, yeah. I can actually see what everybody's saying. I think with the tie and the balance at one each with Celtic at home, I think he should have went with the 3-5-2. I was actually quite surprised that he didn't. See, if you look at teams, I know they're a lot more experienced and they're in a tougher league, but see Lazio and Inter Milan, they play the 3-5-2. They came to Parkhead, and obviously you can also say that it wouldn't have been that good if Celtic they beat them in both games and knocked them out, but they play with a 3-5-2, as do Inter Milan. So it's not as a lot of people speak about that formation as if it's some sort of kind of kamikaze formation. You've only got three at the back, but when you actually, if you're defending and your wing backs are coming back, it's actually quite a solid formation because you've actually got five at the back, and you've got your three solid, and then your two up front. And I think some people make calls with the benefit of hindsight, and obviously there is a slight benefit of hindsight with what I'm going to say. But see at half time with Celtic, they only had a couple. It was Edouard with the header, and I think there was another one with El Yunusi that hit it just by the over the crossbar. But they weren't really opening up Copenhagen. I know they were in control of the game, but I think if they were playing the two up front, I think they would have created even more. I think that's a fair thing to really, really say here. If you look at Celtic in that first half, how clear cut their chances were, they weren't that clear cut.
Oh, yes, they were. Come on, Robbie. El Yunusi has a sitter. It's there on a plate for him, and you see by El Yunusi's body language, he knows it's a sitter. Lee Griffiths has been very unfortunate. The goalkeeper has made a reflex save. Any other time, 9 times out of 10, that's a goal. Callum McGregor's goal has been disallowed wrongly, in my opinion. So, to a certain extent, Celtic were unfortunate. The chances did present themselves, and for one reason or another, they did not go in. The other point I'd raise with you, this is the second time this season that Celtic have gone out of Europe because they imploded at Celtic Park. They went out of the Champions League because they imploded against Cluj at Celtic Park. Did not defend well. Now they're out of Europe altogether because Copenhagen exposed a defence that did not do its job.
Robbie, very, very quickly before we let you go, how disappointed are you overall? I mean, you made it to Europe after Christmas, but I'm detecting that Celtic fans are not finding much solace in that at the moment.
Well, I want to first of all say Hugh was really, really, I didn't really pull Hugh up for things, but he was very, very ignorant there, because I'll tell you why. I only spoke about the chances in the first half.
Well, even to be fair though, Robbie, El Yunusi's was clear cut, wasn't it?
Saying, well, it was over the bar, it was outside the box. And
it wasn't outside the box.
No.
It was about 12 yards out, Robbie. It was a really good chance.
I was only talking about the first half chances.
It wasn't the first half.
The second half chances, isn't it?
But that wasn't the first half, El Yunusi's.
In the first half.
I know, but El Yunusi's was. Anyway, we're going round in circles. Thank you to Robbie in Falkirk. Time for the travel with Stephen. Rangers fans, quite simply, what do you make of the draw? Bayer Leverkusen, talk to us.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans is here. Fraser Wishart is alongside him. We're reacting to last night's defeat for Celtic. Let's turn our attentions to that draw today. Did you all settle down to watch it? Fair play to you if you managed to stay awake by the time the formalities were completed and we actually got to the draw. When it did come out, Rangers up against Bayer Leverkusen. What do you make of it? Is that a good draw, a bad draw, somewhere in between? Were you hoping for something easier? Why not let us know? Jim in Kilmarnock will kick things off. How do you assess that as a draw, Jim?
Well, I think it's a hard draw. It's probably one of the harder ones that we could have got at the pot of it. We'll get a lot of strong teams this year. Porto and stuff like that, Braga there, Legia Warsaw. We'll get a lot of good teams, probably punched above our weight where we should be beating them. So, yeah, it'll be a hard game, but... we've got just as chances as any as we've beat before, but it is a hard game.
Do you think that suits Rangers, Jim? Do you think because, you know, going into these games as underdog and the style's different, do you think that suits Rangers, and do you think it's something that could continue to suit them against Bayer Leverkusen?
Well, it suits us a lot in Europe when teams have come at us. Obviously in January and February we've had a great month, a couple of months with teams sitting back, we've struggled to break them down, but we seem to be doing a bit better in Europe. So yeah, it might, but listen, let's not make any doubt about it. They're a good side. If we get beat for them, I don't think it's any embarrassment. But, you know, they're a good team. They're a really good team. But if we beat them, it's a phenomenal result.
Yeah, I mean, Jim says no embarrassment. I mean, how could it be? Rangers have become the first team ever, Hugh, to make it from the very first qualifying round of the Europa League and to go this far. So we sometimes talk about our domestic cup in this way when you've got, you know, an underdog or whatever, and we mentioned that phrase free hit.
Yeah.
Has it got an element of that about it for Rangers?
Domestically, they're hit and miss under Steven Gerrard. But his time at Ibrox has been characterised by European performances that you didn't see coming, to be perfectly honest. And to be there in the last 16, in the manner in which they reached the last 16, they can play Bayer Leverkusen with the word embarrassment not attached to anything that goes on there. They'll have a very hard time. I never like it when the second tie is away. But they did it against Braga. They went 2 down at Ibrox. They survived. They won 3-2 in the end. And then they went away and they were even better. In fact, so much so that when I was watching the first half of that game in Portugal, I thought to myself, how did Braga ever get 2 up at Ibrox? But there's no embarrassment. Whatever happens, if Rangers do go out, there'll be no embarrassment attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, Fraser, when you assess Bayer Leverkusen, they are clearly a very, very good side. They're fifth in the Bundesliga at the moment, but you might want to cast your eye to the points total. They're only 6 points off top. They're only 6 points behind, you know, the likes of Bayern Munich. They have some fantastic players. They beat Atletico Madrid, as you mentioned, in the Champions League. Ended up finishing third behind them in Juve. No disgrace there. They dropped into the Europa League and dispatched of Rangers' old rivals Porto home and away. So, I mean, clearly a tough test.
Yeah, but Rangers beat Porto. You know, they beat Feyenoord, a good team as well, and Braga. And if you, as she was saying there, after an hour, you're sitting there thinking at Ibrox, this could be really bad for Rangers. They were just totally and utterly out of the game, and you're thinking Braga could score 3 or 4. But well played to Rangers, fair play to Rangers. They've come back and they've dragged themselves into getting a victory there, and they were terrific the other night. I didn't think watching the game, you didn't feel at any time that Rangers were in any real danger. You know, Braga had three spells of pressure. They hit the post with that header, the guy should have actually scored. But Al McGregor didn't have a lot of big saves to make, whereas Rangers had chance after chance in the first half. So they pulled that performance out of nowhere given their recent domestic form. They've just got to go and give it a go. You know, it will be difficult, of course it will be, but it's the last 16 of the Europa League. There's not too many easy games at that stage. And as you said, I think it's maybe not ideal that they've got the first leg at home, but if they can go there and take a lead, sometimes Rangers look, in away games in Europe in the last couple of seasons, they look quite dangerous on the counter-attack, as the caller was saying there, when teams come onto them with the pace of Morelos and when he's playing, or Defoe or Kent. So who knows, but it's a big occasion, and Rangers fans haven't had too many of those in recent years.
Were you over in Braga, Jim?
Yeah, we were. It's the second time I've been away in the European games. I was over at Warsaw game, but it was amazing. It was brilliant. It was some atmosphere and stuff, but it's hard going. but yeah, it was
It was really good. I enjoyed it, but the team done really, really well. That Braga team we beat, that's the first team that's beat them for their new manager come in. That's really, really good teams we're putting out. Whereas their Celtic lost to Cluj as well, and they lost to a very average Copenhagen team last night. You know, they're losing to a lot lesser teams than us. I heard you saying earlier on, but if he done this and he done that, they never done that. They were outplayed last night and they've been put out of Europe for a very bang average team by defensive errors. That's what's cost them. Maybe the manager's tactics as well.
Yeah, as I say, Celtic.
You only say those things in response to the accusations that it was all down to the formation. You're not saying it as in Celtic have been robbed and let's all feel sorry for Celtic.
Celtic blew it big time. They had to get out of jail card, as I say, with less than 10 minutes to go. Edward has put the penalty away beautifully. And you think to yourself, here comes the grandstand finish, and either Edward or Lee Griffiths will score the winner. And in the blink of an eye, Copenhagen are up the other end and the tie is done. So you had to get out of jail card, and then you re-offended, defensively speaking. But there's no need for Rangers supporters to... And what about Celtic? They should be proud of their own team, the progress that they have made, as you said, Gordon, the first team to have gone from the very first qualifier to the last 16. So they have to enjoy it. What will be against Bayer Leverkusen. I would say that Rangers start very firmly as the underdogs. But under Steven Gerrard, they have done very well in Europe.
Well, he does believe they will be taking on one of the favourites to go on and win the thing when they face Bayer Leverkusen. He actually played there on the way to the Champions League final with Liverpool back in 2005. He says he's expecting a great atmosphere.
The atmosphere is electric there. It's not a huge stadium. If I guess, I think it might be around 30. But it's real close to the pitch. And the gym fans all the way around the stadium, they make it nice and fresh. It'll be a good challenge for the players. I think they're one of the favourites. I think the way they've just gone and dealt with Porto, I think they deserve to be one of the favourites. I think German football, ever since I've made my debut, my experiences of playing against German players and German teams, always tough, big, strong athlete to a professional, tactically astute. So, it's exciting, but it's very, very going to be very, very tough.
Alan and Croftfoot, what do you think of Bayer Leverkusen? How does that compare to the type of draw that you were hoping for?
Oh, Gordon, honestly, it could have been a wee bit more simpler, but difficult as it is, we'll give it our best shot.
Yeah, I mean, you must take confidence, Alan, particularly from, well, a couple of things. The fact that I think Steven Gerrard's still unbeaten at home in Europe and Ibrox. And then you look at some of the venues you've gone to, Alan, to be, you know, Braga, Porto, Feyenoord, Villarreal last season. So even those away trips that have looked difficult in the past, Rangers seem to find a way of getting through them, do they not?
Gordon, German football is so strong just now,
that's
though.
That's true.
Really and truly. I mean, Bayern Munich went to Chelsea during the week and gave them a right cuffing. You know what I mean? So German football is probably one of the top in Europe at present, I reckon.
Yeah, that was the thing that jumped out, Fraser, when I was sort of, you know, comparing Bayer Leverkusen. You look at all the hype surrounding Bayern Munich the other night, all the hype surrounding Borussia Dortmund and the talented youngsters that they've got. The fact that Leverkusen are tucked in just behind probably tells its own story. They've got one of the golden boys of German football, if you like, in Kai Havertz, 20-year-old midfielder. Talk of £100 million moves. He's got 7 caps for Germany already. So I don't think anyone's trying to make out that it's going to be anything other than difficult.
No, including the manager, but I think he's quite right to talk it up and talk about what a brilliant occasion it'll be for Rangers to go across there and play in that stadium, and to be playing European football in March is just fantastic for Rangers as a club. It'll bring in extra revenue. If they can win games, the old coefficient might even go up a wee bit more as well. So it's a kind of win-win situation. I think Rangers have done remarkably well to get this far when you think of the number of games that they have played. But looking at, as I think we all did, looking online to look at the squad that Bayer Leverkusen, nobody really stands out. You know, usually there's two or three recognisable names, but they've got these youngsters and one or two. Lars Bender was one, Kevin Volland, but he's injured for the rest of the season. Probably the only two names I actually recognise. So sometimes they're dangerous because there'll be a Brazilian, an Argentinian, or somebody there who's come in who'd be a right good player who we don't recognise. But we should be talking it up. It's a great occasion. It's a big game for us in Scotland.
The great fascination is sandwiched in between Ibrox and Leverkusen. It's a small matter of Rangers versus Celtic at Ibrox in between. So incredible stuff coming up.
Yeah, what a few days that's going to be. What else is on your mind tonight, Alan?
I'll tell you the reason I phoned in. I felt that Celtic thought they were already through. TV pundits, radio pundits, including Radio Clyde, newspaper reporters had them already through by saying, oh, who they would like to, who they fancied meeting in the next round. But even Andy Walker at half time on Sky TV says, wouldn't it be great if it was Celtic and Rangers in the next round? And they weren't even through. Celtic haven't won through a qualifying game in the last 16 years.
A knockout tie.
A knockout
yeah.
tie.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, is it a crime, Alan, for a pundit to say, I think Celtic will go through? Is that a crime, really?
No, not at all, Hugh, but I think 90% of the people thought they only had to turn up last night.
But that doesn't matter. I mean,
long as the players don't think that's
what
basically
punditry, that's what punditry is all about. Before the game starts, you offer your opinion because that's what you're paid to do. And then when the opinion turns out to be wrong, you get the chance to come on here knowing how the big picture ended, and you get to tell the pundits how stupid they are. I mean, that's the way it works.
Fraser, I never really give mine. I just like to sit back and let you, but I don't mind on this occasion holding my hands up. And at half time, I thought Celtic were going through. I thought they looked comfortable. I thought they were going to go through. That's just football.
It'd be a dull old world, Alan, if none of us gave our opinion yeah. and had a bit of fun and speculated. I don't know if you're sitting down the pub with your pals and someone says to you, well, how do you think the game will go on Sunday? Oh, I can't talk about that until after the game's finished. We all do it, and we all get it wrong sometime. And I certainly thought,
I think what Alan,
even from the game, the first game at the end of it, I thought Celtic would definitely get through here. I'll repeat again, they should have.
On a serious note though, I think maybe what Alan is getting at, Hugh, is the fact that, you know, this idea of, you know, you only had to turn up and win. For fans or pundits or anyone else, it's irrelevant. Was there any complacency amongst the Celtic players?
No, they just had a rank bad night. Odson Edouard has been poetry in motion for the vast majority of this season. He had a bad night. All over the park, people had a bad night. Even Fraser Forster, for Celtic, the man who has won a cup this season, who kept them in the tie in Denmark with that penalty save, even Fraser Forster looked a bag of nerves. So they had a rank bad night. They got what they deserved because they did not defend. And at 1-1 after Edouard's penalty, it was theirs for the taking, and they blew it.
Alan and Crofoot, we thank you very much for the call. This is the perfect time for you to get in touch, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we could be speaking to you next. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Duke Evans and Fraser Wishart here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Europa League very much in the focus, and there's no hanging about tonight. Let's go straight back on the lines to Thomas in Cambus Lang. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, guys. Good evening. Thanks for taking the call.
Not a problem.
I'm just actually phoning up because I think there's a bit of a backlash here for Celtic fans uncalled for. If we look at the start of the season, if every Celtic fan really looks at this, the ultimate goal for Celtic is 9-0. They can't kid themselves with that, because European football for years and years eluded Celtic after Christmas. I know it's a different generation now in the money in the game, but to be honest, I would happily sacrifice this season for 9 and then worry about it next season, because at the end of the day, this is a history-making season that we've got here. We've already had our shot at glory in the Champions League. We've managed to get through the group stages. We've played brilliant football against the likes of Lazio. We defeated Cluj second time run. Last night, I honestly walked out of that game. All right, I was gutted when they scored the second, but I'm thinking to myself, well, there's less games. We've got a big game coming up against Rangers. We're going to have a chance to rest players, get players back. Rangers are going to be playing more in Europe, so more chance of injury, fatigue, that kind of thing. But people going on about Neil Lennon's tactics and things like that last night, it's Lennon's played like that in Rome, and we get a result in Rome. Just because it doesn't go for us in one match. But to be honest, see if we had got drawn against the likes of Ajax last night, or whoever, we wouldn't have expected to go any further. And any Celtic fan that I spoke to last night was actually saying, well, not really that fussed.
Is that not part of the problem though, Thomas? Because you're right to offer some perspective. It's clearly not the end of the world. Celtic got to Europe after Christmas. They're still in a good position domestically. But you've just said, you know, if we had drawn Ajax, you didn't. You drew Copenhagen. You got a good look at them for 180 minutes and you should have beat them. Surely that leaves a sour taste in the mouth.
Of course it does. But I tell you something, what won't leave a sour taste in the mouth, see if you look at the competitions that Celtic are still involved with, they're still en route for a quadruple treble.
I agree with you, Thomas. I think your basic premise is spot on, in that Celtic fans at the start of this season had no interest in Europe. It was all about winning the domestic league. If they got quite far on in Europe, fair enough, but it was of no importance. The only thing that was important was 9-0. And I honestly believe that if you had said to a Rangers fan, you'll get as far as Bayer Leverkusen, but you'll lose to them because you'll still want to stop 9-0. They would have said, yeah, Europe's unimportant. It's stopping 9-0 that's important. I honestly believe that Thomas's basic premise is correct. Where I would have to invite Thomas to have a closer analytical look at this, if Celtic defend the way they did last night, when they go to Perth on Sunday, the quadruple treble will be in trouble. Because
But
only a week ago, St Johnstone took care of Goldson and Katic. And you have to be careful, Thomas, that St Johnstone don't take care of Simonovic, Ayer and Julien.
Totally understand what you're saying, Hugh. Right, what I would say there though, 29th of December, Celtic Park, Rangers turned up and turned us over. No, no denying that. They turned us over. Right. After that lesson, Celtic have been a different animal domestically. Now, you have been going on about defensive mistakes. Quite rightly, everybody's got them in them. You're right, you said that a couple of weeks ago. It just depends on when they make them. Now, there's defensive mistakes last week in Copenhagen from Ayer. You get away with it. There was defensive mistakes last night from Simonovic. But I'm happy that the mistakes happen in Europe rather than domestically, because if it happens domestically, then we could derail a whole campaign.
You're going to Livingston on Wednesday. I don't need to remind you what happened the last time you were in Livingston. Julien fell apart. The whole defence fell apart. I do accept that Ryan Christie made the mistake of getting himself sent off. However, at Livingston, Celtic fell apart and lost 2-0. And you're going there on Wednesday. I'm just bringing you back to the point that, yeah, I understand your basic premise that the most important thing to you and 99.9% of the Celtic support is 9 in a row and the quadruple treble. I'm just inviting you to reflect on last night's performance and think about what that might be like if it's repeated in Perth and in Livingston.
Hugh, can I ask you, see the last time that we played against Livingston, it was Julien's first time up against their striker, unknown to him, right? And he played the guy off the park, right? What happened in the return leg at Celtic Park was a different story. Right, Julien played them really, really well. Now, these mistakes, if you make the mistakes again and again, then I take your point. Right. However, I do believe that Neil Lennon this season has proved to be such a good manager in seeing mistakes and helping his players rectify this. I don't think you'll see, and I'm touching wood here, right? Touching wood. I don't think you'll see the kind of mistakes that happened last night. The next time Simonovic is in that situation, that boy's going in the back of the stand. He's not doing that again. Right? Ayer, he'll realise that at the end of the day, his first priority is defending. Defend and then regroup. Put the ball out. I've played in defence at amateur level. First thing you learn, right? And Fraser will tell you, if in doubt, put it out and regroup.
I never kicked out.
He's cultured.
He's a cultured
defender. Thomas, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for your call. Hopefully we'll speak to you soon. I just want to squeeze in George and Bathgate before the news. A Rangers fan, George, Bayer Leverkusen, what do you make of it?
Another massive draw for for the team. But can I just say, it's easy for football fans to come on and have a go at their team when they're not doing so well and maybe had a bad game, Gordon. But what Rangers done the other night, they are for to go down 2-0 in the tie and to score the next four goals against a really, really top team who's playing really well now is absolutely brilliant. So fair play to the team and Steven Gerrard. Me personally, I've not been one that's had any bad success with them because I think we're going the right direction. But fans are quite easy to remember, quite quick to get on their backs and things like that. So on to the next one, a big massive chance for us to go to Germany now. And if we had been beat 2-0 in that last round, I would have accepted it because they're a good team. But for us to go and do that, we can do that against anybody now. Gordon, I really honestly believe we can go out to Germany and still go through in the next round of the tie, and it's massive for Scottish football. Can I make another wee quick point as well, Gordon?
Go on, quick.
It's just a huge opinion last night in the Channel 4 programme it was on, just if you can give me what impact it's got to have in Scottish football about what happened at Celtic Boys Club.
It'll have no impact on Scottish football. It would be a matter for Celtic to address and to assess where they go from here with this particular issue. It will have no impact on Scottish football per se.
I did say we were tight for time for the news. Everyone always accuses me of, you're just cutting people off. George is still there if you want to come back in, George, but I do need to go to the news. You want to make it quick?
No, I just think it's got to be a massive impact for Celtic Football Club, and I think rightly so. It doesn't matter what walk of life it is, rightly so.
But you said Scottish football. You said Scottish football, and I have taken it back to say it is Celtic's matter to deal with, but impact on Scottish football, zero.
Well, time will tell.
What impact will it have on Scottish football?
Watch this space, I think is an appropriate phrase. Thank you to George in Bathgate. Now, we are really late for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's the final chance of the week for you to come on, get more questions right than Fraser or Hugh, and walk away with that signed ball. If you fancy it tonight, 01419511025, and you have to call us before the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Fraser Wishart and Hugh Keevans here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A busy old Friday, as you can imagine. Been looking back on Celtic's failure to get through to the next round of the Europa League, and of course that draw for Rangers fans. How excited must you be? The prospect of facing Bayer Leverkusen in the next round. Could you go even further? Keep the calls coming in, and in case you hadn't noticed, big Scottish Cup games this weekend as well. Rangers at Tynecastle, the venue they've struggled at so much this season. What will that look like tomorrow? We'll get to that after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to take on Hugh Keevans or Fraser Wishart. Get more questions right than them, put them in their place, and win the signed ball as well as the bragging rights. Tonight's contestant is Martin from Motherwell. How are you tonight, Martin?
I'm good, how's yourself?
Not too bad. Now, as a Celtic fan, Martin, I can see the thought process here. You're feeling a bit down about last night, but come on here, win the signed ball, that'll cheer you up.
Aye, hopefully.
Is that fair? Right. I'm going to be honest here. Again, I've left my coin next door here. You know I've got my special commemorative coin that a gentleman so kindly sent in. So I borrowed one off Fraser Wishart.
I have a half crown here.
Now, on the odd occasion I have to borrow one off one of the pundits, it's always a 10 pence, a 5 pence, a 2 pence. I borrowed one off Fraser Wishart tonight. One of your finest pound coins. What can I say? You can't hide class, honestly. Heads, it's Hugh Keevans. Tails, it is Fraser Wishart. And it is, you'll get your coin back. Magic. And you get to play against Martin on Beat the Pundit. So I'm going to give Fraser some Clyde 2 to listen to, Martin, just so that we block out your answers. You've got 30 seconds head to head with Fraser. You can pass, so if you don't know it, pass it quickly and just move on to the next one, okay?
Right, Jeff.
Good man, your time starts now. Who won the Scottish Cup more recently, Hibs or Inverness?
Hibs.
What year of the 90s did Rangers last face Bayer Leverkusen?
1980s.
What was the final aggregate score between Celtic and Copenhagen?
4-1 Copenhagen.
Which club has won the third most Scottish Cups?
Habs.
Which MLS side did Chris Cadden join last year?
New York City.
Where did Rangers sign George Edmondson from?
Pass.
What is the traditional name of Annan's home ground?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Fraser back. Fraser, can you hear us?
I can. I was enjoying Teenage Rampage. Don't know who sang that, was it?
Sweet.
Sweet, was it? Sweet, yeah. Was it? Goodness.
Great knowledge, Mr. Keevans.
I met them once, Brian Connolly. The late Brian Connolly was the singer. That's who it was. Blockbuster
was,
and all that.
Taggart's brother, wasn't he? Mark McManus.
Is there any subject you don't have a story about? And don't get me wrong, I love it. It's not a criticism. I'm just curious. You never fail to amaze me.
It was a Friday night.
And now you spend your Fridays with us.
Yeah.
You've gone down in the world. Right, Fraser, same set of questions to you. Your time starts now. Who won the Scottish Cup more recently, Hibs or Inverness?
Hibs.
What year of the 90s did Rangers last face Bayer Leverkusen?
97.
What was the final aggregate score between Celtic and Copenhagen?
It was 4-2.
Which club has won the third most Scottish Cups?
Aberdeen.
Which MLS side did Chris Cadden join last year?
Columbus Crew.
Where did Rangers sign George Edmondson from?
Oldham.
What is the traditional name of Annan's home ground?
Gillabank.
What is the nickname of Stirling Albion?
The Beanos.
Martin, what do you think?
I've been done there.
You've been done. I liked your style though. He was quite quick. He was trying to get through them. But of course you need to get them right, Martin.
Go through Copenhagen, man. I knew I pumped that one.
You've done your own team a disservice. You've chopped off one of their goals. Let's find out who won the Scottish Cup more recently, Hibs or Inverness. It was Hibs by a year.
Yeah
2016, yeah. Inverness 2015. In what year of the 90s did Rangers last face Bayer Leverkusen? I'm looking for your honesty here, Martin. What did you say? I couldn't quite make it out.
97.
Nah, you were wrong anyway. That's fine. Even the second attempt, it was 98. What was the final aggregate score between Celtic and Copenhagen? I know it was bad, Martin, but it wasn't quite as bad. You've forgotten one of Odson Edwards' goals. It was 4-2. So Fraser goes 2 in front. Which club has won the third most Scottish Cups, Hugh?
Is it Queen's Park?
It is Queen's Park. Yeah. So still 2-1. It's tight at this point, Martin, but this is where Fraser always on the home straight. MLS side that Chris Cadden joined was Columbus Crew. He got that right. He got George Edmondson signed from Oldham. He got Gala Bank for Annan's home ground. And he got the Beanos. Well, you got it right anyway. So it was a 6 for Fraser and only a 1 for you, Martin. I thought we could cheer you up after last night, but I'm afraid your misery continues.
Aye.
Well done, man. Apologies.
He sounds despondent. Poor Martin. And I was going to drop the ball off. A Motherwell native as well, Martin. But you'll have to wait until another time. That was Martin, your chance to beat the pundit. We'll be back on next week's show Monday at 7 o'clock. Hugh, the Scottish Cup does kick off tonight, yep, as we mentioned on Beat the Pundit, Hibs against Inverness.
Well, you know, in a week when the new Hibs owner has been talking about boosting the budget for Jack Ross, about where he sees the club and their standing within Scottish football, it wouldn't be a great time to go and get put out of the cup at Easter Road. I honestly think that Hibs are a treat to watch at times, and I do think that they'll beat Inverness tonight.
Yeah, team lineup for Hibs: Marciano in goal, the back four of McGinn, Jackson, Han. Nah, they've not lined it up in that order, I don't think.
Maybe a back three.
Yeah, I think it is actually McGinn, Jackson, and Hanlon. Yeah, Boyle, Whittaker, Docherty, Stevenson, Allen, Doige and McNulty up front. So the goal scorers up there. Greg Docherty's been in great form on the bench. Bogdan, McGregor, Holberg, Slivka, Omeonga, Horgan and Gullen. I think you'll be interested to note as well, Hugh Keevans, that James Keating's got the decision he deserved yesterday.
You know, the only important thing was we got to the right place in the end. It will cause all manner of ructions behind the scenes, and you know, the clubs in general are unhappy with the disciplinary process that they feel is unfit for purpose. The Keating's affair, we'll bring all that to a head. It's for the SFA to sort out for the start of next season.
Well, he plays tonight. Mark Ridgers in goals, Sean Rooney, Brad McKay, Kevin McCarty, Carol Tremarco at the back, Charlie Trafford, David Carson, Tom Walsh, Aaron Doran in midfield, James Keating supporting Jordan White up front for Inverness. Cammy McKay, Miles Storey, Nikolai Todorov, Cammy Harper, Roddy McGregor, Fraser Russell on the bench. Are we getting a shock there, Fraser?
No, but my old pal John Robertson, who I'd played with the Hearts for a couple of seasons, he would love to do it. He was a hammer of Hibs for many, many years when he scored a barrel load against them. But as good a team as they are, and they're a nice footballing team, and they've got some good players in there, Tom Walsh and Doran's in the wider areas, Keating's himself, He's the only man who's guaranteed to play in the next round. I'd like John to drop him after all of that. But no, I think Hibs will have too much. I like the way Hibs are playing. Good team.
Right, let's check in with Brian in Moodysburn. How are you feeling tonight, Brian? Celtic fan, where's the disappointment level after last night?
I guess, how are you doing? Good show as usual.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Driving home last night in the car with my daughter, and obviously very disappointed in the result. Probably not in the manner in which we played, probably in the manner of how we get beat. I think obviously when you support Celtic, the expectation is that you win every game, no matter who you play, and that's reality. I think obviously the other part of reality is that that's not always the case. The biggest thing for me last night driving home was that the league didn't, the season didn't finish last night. Although very disappointing, we've got an awful lot more football to play for. And I think if you were any other club, any other supporter in Scotland at this moment in time, you'd be thinking, well, whose shoes would I rather be in? And I know who I am obviously going to vote for in terms of Celtic. The opportunity to win a quadruple treble, break more records than ever before. And I think that we've just got to get over it and go on with it. Because I think the other thing for me was I was probably questioning what Neil was doing in terms of his lineup. But I remember, you might know what to say his name, Brendan Rodgers saying before, sometimes it's not about the team you start with, it's the team you finish with. And I thought Neil had that in mind. The plan just didn't play out in the main part of the game for him to execute that properly, I think. I think Frimpong and Griffiths would probably come on to seal the deal rather than to make up for the different performance, I thought.
I'm just thinking, I'm hoping you can explain something to me, Brian, because you'll understand this rivalry, this Celtic Rangers rivalry, way better than I do. Some of the disappointment we're seeing, is that the way this city works? Is it made worse for Celtic because Rangers progressed?
I think it is. I mean, I walked into work this morning, and the first thing that's on my mind like in the car is I'm going to get it tight. But it's all banter. It's a bit of fun, and the wee guy gives me it tight, and I give him it tight. I think the thing is that as a Celtic or a Rangers supporter, you're expecting to win, no matter who you play, and it's not going to be the case. Again. And I'm not on here saying, well, because Rangers have won, I'm more disappointed. Well, I am saying that, but when you take a step back and you think about it, I'm also saying, but do you know what, I'd rather be where I am just now rather than somebody else.
Again, Brian, your basic premise, like the earlier caller, is absolutely correct. Who would you rather be, the team that's won the last 10 domestic trophies or all the rest who have not won anything for 3 years? However, the point I'm going to make to you again, St Johnstone away, to protect an unbelievable run of matches without defeat in cup competition, Celtic will need to defend better than they did against Copenhagen. That was a shambles. And when they go to Livingston on Tuesday night, AstroTurf, and also against a team who have beaten Celtic on that AstroTurf this season, and who will be at the back of Christopher Julien's mind in particular, you have to take into account that the next two games for Celtic, after a wonderful start to 2020, you cannot make assumptions. Otherwise, complacency will catch you out. Celtic will need to defend well at Perth, or they might not be in this cup any longer. And they'll need to defend well and perform well at Livingston, or they'll drop some league points as well.
So I get that, Hugh, but I think you've also got to think as well is we've actually defended better in more games than we've not. So if you think about in the season so far, I think in my mind there's maybe four or five games this season I would say that the defence probably were culpable. The Cluj game, the game last night, the game against Rangers, the game against Livingston, and I think there's maybe the game against Hibs at Easter Road. Probably was the games that might have been a bit culpable, but from me, looking at it from a positive point of view, we've defended better in more games than we haven't.
I accept
that. I'm more positive about us going there. And I think, just to cap off as well, I think the biggest person I was disappointed for was Neil Lennon, because he's he's obviously wanting to set a new standard, a new precedent, especially in Europe, because Brendan Rodgers didn't particularly do well in Europe. Neil has brought a different style of play, and last night I felt the reason why we became a bit cold at the back is we almost went back to type again and tried to play it out, whereas I would have rather we played the game in their half. And yeah, if that meant a wee bit more direct, that would have, might have been a better idea. And that's where the their second goal came from, trying to play a what they maybe thought was a clever pass, and didn't work.
Just on that though, Fraser, if Neil Lennon doesn't want to, but I think a lot of people were particularly critical of Jozo Simunovic last night. Christopher Ayer didn't cover himself in glory either. But at the same time, we're getting calls from Celtic fans to persevere with 3-5-2. Why wasn't it 3-5-2? We like 3-5. Well, if that's the case, those guys are going to have to play, because there aren't any others, and you're having to pick one extra centre back as well.
Celtic lost the last two goals playing 3-5-2, and if you look at the second goal, it comes from 3-5-2 because your full backs advance, and what happens is the ball's given away in midfield, and it's never as simple as just one mistake. The ball's given away in midfield, they break, Greg Taylor's made the run forward because he's presuming that his teammate's going to keep the ball, and that's where the goal comes from. The gap is there, and I'm not blaming Greg Taylor because he was taking up the right position. So, you know, Celtic supporters that wanted the 3-5-2, and somebody pointed out earlier about they went to play Lazio and won with this formation as well. And I've played this formation most of the European ties, if not. I think it's just picking at things, you know. And Brian's right, Hugh's right. The basic premise: Celtic are in a fantastic position. Every supporter would want to be there, and I think they'll go on and win the league. But that doesn't mean it's not exclusive. It doesn't mean it's still not sore. And I know that supporters, when they lose a game like last night, they've got to find a reason to put it to one side and say it doesn't really matter. I think most Celtic supporters watching the game last night would be really disappointed, and would be sore this morning.
Let's get the opinion of Archie, who is a Rangers fan from Ibrox. Hi Archie.
How you doing? Alright,
I'm good. Archie, what's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things. I'm going to give you a bit of gloating.
That's the way it works.
Of course, 100%. You know, I'll give you a bit of gloating for I've moaned about my team for the last couple of times I've been on, you know, criticised them quite rightly for the last couple of months. But the first team in 18 years, nearly two decades, to win home and away in a knockout round. And I think probably about 9 or 10 of the years we weren't even in Europe because of where we are. So I want to just put that forward first of all.
Yeah, Fraser, it was an incredible achievement. You can almost spin it in so many different ways as well. Doing it alone is fine. Even just getting through by any manner of means would have been impressive. To win home and away, even more impressive. As Archie says, the length of time it's been since someone did that, the first team to come from the first qualifying round. There are so many ways in which this was a really top achievement from Rangers.
Yeah, and given the way their domestic form's been, people will be scratching their heads saying, why can they not play that way? And as I said earlier, watching the game, he didn't really feel as if Rangers were ever in any bother.
Did it without their best striker
striker. And they were two goals down after an hour at Ibrox, and lucky to be only two goals. And you're actually thinking at that point, Rangers got to be careful, this could be a real heavy defeat. But somehow dragged their way back into the game to get that lead. So all the plaudits have got to be there. Bayer Leverkusen's a bonus, last 16's a bonus. It's a big game. They've got to get back to the bread and butter. Hugh's talking there about Celtic. If they don't perform against St Johnstone and then next midweek as well, the same's for Rangers. You know, the league, I think, don't think they'll catch Celtic, but they can't afford to drop any points if they even have the most outsider chance. So therefore, the cup could be the best avenue, and is the best avenue for Rangers to stop Celtic winning the quadruple treble. And they'll have a tough one on a Saturday evening and under the lights and a heavy pitch at Tynecastle, who've turned them over recently as well. They're going to have to be up for it physically, because Hearts will get stuck in about them. We know the way they'll do, they'll chase and Harry. So put that to bed the other night. Fantastic result, as Archie says, and the players deserve all the praise. But they've got to get on the working boots again tomorrow night and get into this Hearts team as well. It'll be a tough one.
You want to come back in, Archie?
I mean, I just think we go to Europe, you know, we seem to tap into a different dimension of ourselves, you know, as a team collectively. And I'm laughing as well, listening to Celtic fans with that bit of heart coming on and wanting to blame Neil Lennon for one game. And, you know, I was actually going to talk about Celtic defence. I mean, I think for weeks and weeks, I listen to Celtic games on the radio, you know, against Ross County, Hearts and Kilmarnock, and I think they're really, really lucky that there are no top strikers in the Scottish Premiership. You know, I know they win 3-4 and 3-1 and 4-0, but before they actually score 3-4 goals, the amount of chances that Ross County, Hearts and Kilmarnock have missed actually sort of hides the fact of how bad the Celtic defence are and how many mistakes they make.
I think, Archie, I think to pay tribute to those who play middle to front for Celtic, they compensate.
That's what I was saying there.
They compensate for the dodgy defence. And, you know, I do think that it's not just a one-off. Ayer thinks he's Franz Beckenbauer. Julien thinks he's Virgil van Dijk. Simonovic, you know,
I still think I'm George Clooney.
Yeah.
Come on, give us a wee bit of break.
I do think that they all have a mistake in them, and it would be wrong to think that last night was a one-off. You know, as I say, they're going to Livingston on Wednesday, where they have previously imploded. They've got St Johnston, where they played among their best football of the season earlier on when they won in the league there, had it all wrapped up in half an hour. But they have to be aware that at the back, they are vulnerable. And those vulnerable moments are compensated for by those who play middle to front. And also, as Archie says, if we had a higher calibre of striker, then Celtic might have found themselves in bother more often than they have done.
Is a difficult one, because Archie's obviously right to an extent, Fraser. There have been moments. Hugh has been flagging them up to us all season, but it's not like they've never faced good strikers, because that's doing Rangers a disservice. And also maybe some of the other teams, yeah, that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, when Celtic beat Lazio in Rome, Ciro Immobile played for Lazio. He's just got the 33 goals this season. You know, he ain't bad. So yeah, I think most Celtic fans would agree there are definitely mistakes there, but that's not to say that these guys aren't also capable at times of putting in impressive defensive performances.
Yeah, and it's unfair on those players as well. I mean, I felt for Simunovic last night, you know, as an ex-player, an ex-defender. That was one of these mistakes where it was just down to you, and the whole focus was on him, and then he was shaky for another 10 minutes. And he's not really got himself into peak fitness. As a former player, I really felt for him, but you know, he can't hide from it. He's going to come back on Sunday and play. And if Celtic had gone through last night, we wouldn't be having a conversation about the dodgy defence, you know, and no strikers. And I think it's unfair on the Celtic defenders to say that they don't dominate in Scottish football. But Sunday, they'll get a wee test on a pitch that wasn't great last week. And I know that from speaking to my colleague at PFA, Liam Craig, you know, he's seen Callum Henry's doing really well. Big, strong, busting striker. They'll go back to front and they'll try and put the pressure on those defenders. So it's up to the Celtic defenders. They've got to be at it on Sunday.
You're getting the final word on this, Archie.
I mean, it's just really, really nice to actually progress and something, you know, beyond Celtic when it comes to League Cup, Scottish Cup, the league, to actually progress. Yeah, I mean, as I said, I've been moaning a couple of times, but it's really, really nice and refreshing to actually see that step forward and realise I was so happy. I love the coefficient thing. I like Celtic to get so far. But fundamentally, it's really, really nice when you've been suffering for like 8-9 years for Rangers to progress beyond Celtic and something. That's a massive, massive leap, you know, in the bigger picture. I'm just really, really happy.
That's a fair point, Hugh. It's obviously, and I can hear the instant response is, you know, it's not a trophy, but is that, you know, you're talking about progress, taking one step at a time. There was a time when Rangers couldn't even beat Celtic. Now they've done that and they're trying to get closer. And now, as Archie says, progress, getting further in Celtic than something, it's a step. I'll leave it up to everyone else out there to decide how big a step.
Rangers,
it's a step.
And their supporters have had 10 testing years. Their own fault. I mean, they ran their business into the ground and we know what followed. But they've had 10 testing years where they've gone everywhere in the lower regions. And to have that moment is for the guys that were at Alloa that night when Rangers were 2-0 and lost 3-2.
Archie, you enjoy your weekend. That was Archie in Ibrox. We are going to get a full-time teaser for Fraser and Hugh, and it's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It is that time of the night when you send in the questions to us and we put them to the pundits on the full time teaser and see what they can come up with in the final 30 minutes or so of the show. Mikey is responsible for tonight's question, so if you like it, thank Mikey. If you hate it, blame Mikey. If there are any mistakes in it, pass them on to Mikey. He says, since Rangers today, and you could kind of see this one coming, the Drew Bayer Leverkusen in the last 16 of the Europa League. Now, can you name Rangers starting 11 the last time they played Bayer Leverkusen? It was, I'll give you the date if that helps.
1998.
5th of November, You'll not forget that in a hurry. So the Thursday, the 5th of November 1998, Rangers, Bayer Leverkusen at Ibrox. Name the team. Go.
Andy Gorham.
No.
Stephen Kloss.
No. Good start.
I played for Rangers just a few years before that. Goodness, who would be the goalie? Was that Advocates, Ryan?
Charbonnier.
Yes, well done, Hugh Keevans. Not pronounced in your usual.
Oh, Charbonnier.
That's better, thank you. I know you like to really go for it.
Lionel Charbonnier.
With the French pronunciations. I'll just go for Charbonnier, I'll keep it safe. So you've got the goalie, you're building from the back.
Perini. Perini, right back.
Perini, right back, yes. Goff, no.
Left back, Vanoli.
No.
Stalas Stenbeck.
No.
Let's go random. Ali McCoist.
No.
97's when that team broke up. So Walter Smith left.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
McCoist
yeah.
and all these guys. Colin Hendry.
Yes, Colin Hendry, well done.
Speaking to Big Colin the other day.
I'll take one more guess and then we'll move on.
Barry Ferguson.
Yeah, well done. Okay, so we're looking for the Rangers team. The last time they played Bayer Leverkusen, it was 5th of November 98 at Ibrox. Charbonnier was in goal. Perini, Hendry at the back. Ferguson in midfield. But who else? You can tell us at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Right, let's take another call from Davey in Wisher. Hi, Davey.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad, Davey. How are you?
Not bad. I've been listening to the show all night, and I was just about to defend my team. I was disappointed last night. The biggest thing I was disappointed in was how fast the stadium emptied. I mean, it's been a decade of dominance. This generation just expects to win every time. And win, lose or draw, you stay to the end. I was disgusted how fast the stadium emptied.
Yeah, I've seen people mention something similar on social media, Hugh. Is it valid?
No. I think if you pay your money, you're entitled to go whenever you want to go. If you're disgusted and you want to go early, that's entirely your prerogative. Can I just tell you, Davey, that when Celtic won 9 in a row the first time, attendances at Celtic Park in the season in which they won the 9th successive title, the average attendance had gone down because people find that utter domination gets boring. But that might not be the case now because this second historic 9, if Celtic get it, will be that. History, the first team ever to do it twice, and it will also open the door to the possibility of 10. So I understand why it's different now. But I don't pay to get into football matches. If I go to a football match, I have a press pass. So I don't tell people who pay to get into football matches when they should arrive and when they should go.
David, I've heard a lot of this before. You know, it's almost like you weren't around in the 90s. You should have seen how bad it was then. But at the same time, what difference does that really make? Surely fans have got the right to sort of dream big and demand the best of their team at all times. In a tie that was winnable last night, Celtic should have been able to see off Copenhagen, should they not?
I know we had to score 2 goals after they scored. It was only 6 minutes left, but it was like a Sunday league game. How would that affect the players? That would have affected the players, how fast that stadium emptied. They would have been down by that.
I think it was done by then, Davey. I think it was done. I mean, if you supporters leave with 10 minutes to go or 15 minutes to go, I think you'd be right, because there's always a chance of getting one goal. But I think everybody just felt it was done. And I don't think you can blame supporters for doing that with 5 minutes to go. There was no way back. No chance of Celtic winning.
And also, I'd say this to you, David.
In fact, they needed 3 goals at that point. Not just
you,
were,
you remember the days when Celtic's European matches, the top tier of the stand was closed. So that was pretty grim. But now, I don't think you can fault the Celtic supporters for turning up in the numbers in which they turn up. The atmosphere at the start of the game last night was a Champions League night atmosphere. And when people know the game's up, they paid to get in, they can go if they want to.
Can I make one more point?
Of course you can.
I was just about to say, all the Rangers fans that are coming on talking about Celtic, they can come on and talk about us when their 8-year-old club wins a major trophy.
Well, again, tonight's been a glorious example of tit for tat. And that's what makes this city rock and roll. And that's fine. You can say what you like, within reason, of course, about the Rangers supporters. And the Rangers supporters can come on. And I think the caller who said it's just nice for Rangers to have gone one stage further than Celtic in a competition after 10 years in the wilderness. So, yeah, you and the Rangers supporters who are like you, I know you're a Celtic fan, but the Rangers supporters who are like you and feel that way about the other team, that's fine. As long as you all keep it clean, keep it non-violent, we're okay.
I like the way Davey built up to getting his wee digging though, Fraser. Okay. I like that. That was...
It's always coming in a second question, isn't it?
Just a wee digging there. All right. Davey. Like Davey and Wisher, thank you for your time. Kenny is a Rangers fan from Rutherglen. So let's hear a bit more from Stephen Gerrard. And Kenny might be well placed to give us his opinion on this. Stephen Gerrard says the difference between results in Europe and domestically are down to focus from the players. He says they need to make sure they play their own game at Tynecastle tomorrow and don't get sucked in by Hearts.
No, I think my team are suited when they're really, really in the zone and focused on the next challenge. It doesn't matter whether it be in Europe or what game is in front of them. If they're right mentally and they're prepared for the challenge, I think we can compete and show what we're about against any level of opposition in any competition. If we eradicate mistakes by being focused, I think we'll be fine. We always try and play our own game, but on the last couple of times we've been to Tynecastle, I agree with your question that we haven't been ourselves or close to our best. So the challenge tomorrow will be is can the real Rangers stand up to the challenge, and can we go there and, you know, execute the game plan that we're going with and not be drawn into someone else's style of play or fall into the fact that you're going to be in a hostile arena. We have to go there with our style in and out of possession, and if we do that to the best of our ability, I'm confident we'll get the results that we've had on a lot of occasions when we've been up here.
Kenny, what's the mindset as a Rangers fan right now? Do you go to Tynecastle thinking, of course we're going to win, we just saw off Braga home and away, or do you still have that fear that the domestic form recently hasn't been as good as you would like?
Well, first of all, hi guys, thanks for taking my call tonight. In all honesty, in domestic terms, I have absolutely no idea where we're at the moment. Because one week we could go out there and we could hammer a team 5-6-0, and the next week we could go and play bottom of the league and get beat 3-0. Europe seems to be a different animal altogether. For some reason, we seem to rise to the occasion week in, week out when we do have to play, which, I mean, it's amazing to think where you go back to a couple of years ago in progress, Niederhorn were beating us, and you've got Pedro standing in the bush, but now we're constantly rising above it to beat teams like Feyenoord, Porto, Warsaw, Braga. So, I mean, we are punching above our weight, technically, to a certain extent at the moment. But my point tonight is, it's not so much about what we can do and what we have done. It's more against the... I was one of the Rangers fans that was actually sitting there supporting Celtic last night, because I wanted Celtic to win for the coefficient for Scotland so that we could get two teams into the Champions League. Unfortunately, that never happened, as we all found out. But one thing I wasn't aware of until today is, due to TV rights, Rangers now gets all the money. So we're going to get £11.5 million for the TV rights for the Europa League, because we don't need to share it 50-50 with Celtic. Now, that's potentially, and I'm rounding this off, so don't quote me on this, but potentially Rangers are going to walk away for this European season with a minimum of roughly about £20 million.
I'd have to say, I think you might.
Well, I must admit, I don't have the figures to hand right now, and that's my fault. I perhaps should.
What I would say is, at the moment we've made about £7 million. We're going to get £11.5 million from
just this one round.
From the TV rights. Well, this is what I'm going for the Daily Record. This is what they've been quoting. Okay. They've said that we've made roughly about £7.5 million. We're going to get about £11 million for the TV rights for the last 16.
I think that's the case. I could be wrong, Fraser. I don't think that's additional to this, to £7 million.
No, I think you've got your figures wrong. I'm just having a look online to check what I read earlier on. I think the £11.5 million split between the teams that are there. But the Daily Record's quoted here, Rangers have also secured themselves a £1.1 million bonus by making it to the last 16 of the competition, there could be further riches on offer.
What I would say is, what I read, it did say 11 million. So even if that is the case, if I'm wrong, I do apologise. I'm sorry about that.
Still good money, though.
What I will say is, it's money that Rangers were not expected to get. Do you know what I mean? We were in the group stages. We were looked at as kind of the whipping boys to a certain extent, and we've made it through, and we keep making it through. So this is money that we never expected to get.
Yeah, that's undeniable, Hugh. Kenny makes a really good point, which we've not mentioned yet tonight, because it's all right, you or Fraser, anyone saying, you know, Europe's just a bonus and it's all about getting nine or stopping nine, but actually it's a really good revenue stream for our clubs.
Without doubt, and that's why Celtic would be at directorial level, at chief executive level, would be annoyed, because there goes a nice little earner. And that's another reason to be annoyed. So, as I say, whatever Rangers get, they have earned it by their own endeavours on the park. And Celtic have denied themselves further money because of their mistakes on the park.
And just to try, and that is the key word, to try and clear up what Kenny was saying about the coefficient. You know, he wanted Celtic to win because he wanted the coefficient to be at such a level where we get two teams in the Champions League from the 21-22 season onwards. It does look like we're going to get that regardless, Fraser. What it did last night with Celtic losing means that it's not confirmed, but it's still pretty much on. We're 14th at the moment, top 15, get that second Champions League place. Now, the only way that we could miss out on that is if both Olympiacos and Basel go to like sort of semi-final and final level of the Europa League. So never say never.
And Rangers lose as well.
And it would be extremely Scottish of us to find a way. But regardless of the fact that Celtic lost last night, it does look like we've got that second place.
It does, from the season after next, and that would be a bit terrific. And it also means another Europa League place as well. So five teams in Europe, which opens it up to somebody can win the Scottish Cup or finish maybe in the fifth place in the league. So it's all good. It's all good. And I mean, if Kenny's figures are right, I just read briefly earlier on, I didn't pick up that figure, but if he was right, then it'd be fantastic money. But even if he's not, it's still a big earner for Rangers over the piece and money they could do with. And from our perspective, the coefficient we keep talking about, we've talked about for years, and Celtic have been batting on their own for so many years, the Rangers over the last couple of years have stepped up, and it just shows you how simple it is to get yourselves up there. And maybe even, you never know, for another couple of years, good, maybe get an automatic place in the Champions League. Maybe that's dreaming, but it's got us into the top echelons and a wee bit more, I think, credibility and respect from other European nations.
Kenny, thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend. That was Kenny in Rutherglen. What are you two saying to on the teaser? We're looking for the Rangers starting 11. The last time they played Bayer Leverkusen, it was 98 in the UEFA Cup at Ibrox. Lionel Charbonnier was in goals. Sergio Parini and Colin Hendry made up half of the back four. Barry Ferguson was in midfield.
Neil McCann?
No.
The other centre back, Amoruso?
Yes.
Darshuville?
No, you're miles off now. You were getting close as well.
Was the left back Arthur Newman?
Yes.
Midfield.
Five to go.
Shall I keep going?
Decent midfield this, I must say.
Claudio Arena?
No.
Van Bronckhorst?
Yes. Four to get, we'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I know everyone's got Europa League on their mind, but the Scottish Cup weekend has already started, and inside a minute, a big chance for Inverness to take what would be a shock lead at Easter Road. It was a cross from the left. James Keating's dived in the box. Just kidding. It was a Jordan White header straight at Ofer Marciano. So a bit of a let off, Fraser. It was actually a decent chance.
Yeah, when it was going to Big Jordan, that's his bread and butter. He's a big laddie, scored a lot of goals in the lower leagues. I think he'd do a bit better. I think he just mistended his jump a wee bit. He was on the way down, because that was a decent chance, 5 yards out, got ahead of there. So just a reminder for Hibs that Inverness are not a bad team.
Okay, on tonight's teaser, thank you to Mikey for sending it in. And remember, if you want to hear your question used on the show, the address you need to send it to is fulltime@clyde1.com. So we're looking for the Rangers starting 11, the last time they played Bayer Leverkusen. It was a 98 UEFA Cup at Ibrox. And actually, you're doing pretty well. You've got Charbonnier in goals. You've got Perini, Amoruso, Hendry, Newman. You've nailed the back four. You've got Van Bronckhorst and Ferguson in midfield. And that's it at the moment. Any more?
Hugh? I've got a few suggestions.
Go on then.
Kanchelskis.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yes, well done.
Wide left, Alberts.
Yes.
I should know this because I was playing against that. I'll tell you what,
there's only two to go, so we'll leave it there. You've got plenty of time to go. Let's speak to Kevin in Thailand. Double take there. Kevin's calling all the way from Thailand. What's on your mind tonight, Kevin?
Yeah, how you doing, Gordon and Fraser and Hugh?
How are you, Kevin? Nice to hear from you.
Who's here?
Yes.
I'm just phoning because after the disaster that happened last night, I normally listen to the podcast the day after. But I can imagine the phone calls you've got tonight. So I've not heard any phone calls tonight. But I can imagine they'd be on and sort of like giving Neil Lennon a hard time.
One did.
One did. It was only one, was it?
I
think it was the first couple, to be fair. I think the first two were critical, Kevin, of the formation that was chosen last night and so on. Are you on to defend it or to agree?
Yeah, I want to defend it because you think about it, if you look at the two legs, right? We had the system that he put out and the personnel that he put out on the night. They created so many chances. And if you look at the goal against in Copenhagen, it was an individual mistake with Cham and actually never backed up with the defence. And the three goals, the three incidents that happened in Parkhead was all individual mistakes. And the system that he put out created so many chances in both legs. So I don't see how anybody can criticise Neil Lennon for the system or the personnel he put out.
Well, we always have a situation, Kevin, where some will look to blame the manager and others will look to blame individual players or the players collectively. So that's okay. I mean, you referred to it as a disaster. I don't see it as a disaster. I see it as a tie that Celtic should and could have won, but for a variety of reasons, a goal wrongly disallowed, an excellent save from the goalkeeper, a sitter missed, and also, without doubt, defensive frailty. For a combination of reasons, Celtic blew a very good chance to join Rangers in the last 16.
Can you absolve a manager from all criticism, though, Kevin, when you get a really disappointing result? And I think most people who watched it would agree with you that, you know, individual errors defensively, Hughes mentioned some missed opportunities in front of goal, but can you let a manager off scot-free completely when you lose such an important game?
Yes.
Yeah, well, listen, I wasn't disagreeing. I mean,
everybody in hindsight, they all talk about different for me. Look, for me, it's in hindsight, and you can put whatever formation, what system, whatever you put out there. Neil Lennon's done a fantastic job, an absolute brilliant job. And I just think, for me, he's done everything right, everything perfect, apart from last night. As you say, did he do it perfect? Should have put Lee Griffiths on for the start? I mean, the thing is, Lee Griffiths come on He made a spark to the Celtic team. But if he was on for the start, would he have done that?
We talk about small margins, Kevin. You know, when Celtic won the Betfred Cup, Rangers played them off the park. But Celtic won the cup. And nobody said, why did Rangers play Celtic off the park and blame Neil Lennon or any player? Because they're too happy celebrating the cup win. And that's what happens. That is the nature of football. You know, he played off the park but won the cup. Last night, not played off the park, but guilty of individual error and guilty of not taking a chance, a major chance that could have changed the complexion of the night entirely.
Thank you very much. That was Kevin all the way from Thailand. That seems like a fair point to round things off. Thank you again to Kevin for his thoughts on the phone. Still Hibs nil, Inverness nil. Although, oh, and we've got a penalty, I would imagine. Either that or it's going to be a booking for diving. One of the two.
Oh, he's booked him for diving.
Martin Boyle,
oh,
was swimming down in the box. We'll get to see, like, that, see that one again. Yeah, that will perhaps cause some debate.
And it's one of these ones, you can round the goalkeeper and you're thinking, why would you go down? He's about to tuck it in the empty net.
Take it to the disciplinary panel, get a knighthood.
Anyway, just quickly, you've still got the two strikers to get on that Rangers team.
Yeah,
pretty sure.
No, you're way off now.
Rod Wallace?
Yes.
Amato?
No.
Jonathan Johansson?
Yes. Look at that, Fraser Wishart. Absolutely nearly. We're seeing it again. Is that the right decision?
It's a stonewall penalty, I think.
I missed it, so I didn't see it.
Well, anyway,
too busy gloating for getting
on. I think Mick Walsh has got it horribly wrong.
So you see, they're far too quick to book players for diving just now. Yeah. It's in the brains. They're told what to do. It's for me, I thought it was a penalty first off. I'd like to see it again.
Martin Boyle booked for diving. The big moment of controversy so far. Still Hibs nil, Inverness nil. It is Scottish Cup weekend. The kickoff times are all over the place. It's brutal for the Clyde One Super Scoreboard schedule, but we will be here at 2 o'clock until 6 as always tomorrow. That's our slot and we'll be here. We'd love for you to join us. In the meantime, just stay right there and you can get your weekend started. GBX Fridays up next.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.